Sales Interviews, Part 4. Planning a sales call. Typically, a well-planned sales call has these components. 1. A set of objectives for the call. 2. An agenda. 3. A set of questions prepared word for word. 4. All the necessary material and collational literature samples, etc. 5. A variety of next steps a customer can take as a result of the call. 6. Time spent reviewing the account profile or personal profile previously compiled on this customer. Sounds a bit audacious, doesn't it? That's why it's a best practice to a discipline of the best salespeople. These salespeople who don't strive for the mastery of their jobs invariably slide away from the discipline to do it in the way the best do it. Consistent, disciplined behaviour, that's what separates the best from the rest. Sales call objectives. A sales call shouldn't be something that happens by accident. It should be a planned event. When sales calls aren't planned, they often result in wasted time and effort, resulting in no sale. No matter how hard you try, you can't make a sale on every call, but as a minimum you should either be starting a sale, advancing a sale along, or trying to close one. We are talking about sales calls here, not social calls where you drop in to chat with someone who you like and who likes you. These are called comfort calls, not sales calls. They are usually unproductive but comforting. Setting sales call objectives. Before you pick up the telephone to make a sales call or approach a prospect, you should be setting a sales call objective. Each call should have a specific purpose, desired outcome, or intended result. Before making a sales call, ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish or happen as a result of this call? If you can't come up with a good answer, perhaps you shouldn't be wasting your or your prospect's time. A sales call objective should answer one of these questions. What do I want to happen as a result of this call? Or what do I want the prospect to do as a result of this call? The next call goals. On multi-call sales, finish the call by setting mutual goals of expectations for the next call. And in essence, you're setting an agenda for the next call. Whenever possible, you want to get a commitment on the part of the prospect to do something, and you want to leave the call knowing exactly what you need to do for the next meeting. Ending the call with, I'll send out an information for you to review. If you have any questions, just give me a call. If I don't hear back from you, I'll give you a call. It's all right, but it could be better. You've left the prospect with no clear commitment for a next step. Ending the call with this following would be even better. Let me send you information so you can review it and make notes of any additional information you want. I'll give you a call next Tuesday to answer your questions and to see what the next steps are. Will that be okay? Always set the next appointment before you leave. This approach attempts to get the prospect to commit to read the literature as well as accept the call from the salesperson. Sometimes simply asking the prospect what he wants to have happen next is enough to set the next call expectations. Here are a few examples. Where do we go from here? What's the next step? How do you want to proceed? What do you want me to do next? Whenever possible, put an action timeline to these items. When should we get together again? Can we set a time for our next meeting? When do you want me to get back to you on this? The advantage of setting next call goals or expectations is what makes the next call much easier to start and gives you the opportunity to service the prospect in a personal value-added manner. Other possible call objectives. To start the development of a long-term relationship by compiling a needs analysis, e.g. information facts about the customer and their goals. To get a second appointment. To initiate a study. To get an appointment at a higher or lower level. To position another member of the team. To solve an immediate problem, thus reducing frustration, gaining goodwill, and achieving status on a longer-term problem. To have a customer in team training. To get a customer to visit a plant and arrange an executive briefing. To discuss potential problems with current systems. To raise interest in changing a course of action. to play golf or to go to dinner with a client, to meet other buyers within a company, to provide information on industry trends, issues and concerns, to complete a transaction, to shorten the payment cycle, to introduce a sales manager to a buyer. Calls to avoid. Avoid these calls at all costs. They are guaranteed to annoy your prospect and make you sound like a self-serving salesman. The post office checkup call. Hi, I'm just calling to see if you got the liquidature I sent. The what's happening call. Hi, I'm just calling to see what's happening with the proposal we sent you. The pickup and order call. I'm just calling to see if you have anything for me this month. The general state of the union call. I'm just calling to see how things are going. The I don't know what to do with my time, so I thought I'd bother you call. Hi, I'm just calling to see how things are going and dot dot dot. Or, hi, I just happened to be in the area, so I thought I'd drop in and dot dot dot. Doesn't this last approach make the prospect feel real special? You just happen to be in the area, even if that's true. Don't insult the prospect by saying it. Summary. The sales activity of a company is the only activity that brings them revenue. The average sales call costs your company from $99 to $452. International calls, of course, cost considerably more. It costs your company just as much to support a low-producing salesperson as a high-producing one. These three facts put great responsibility on the shoulders of each salesperson because of the high cost of your service and the importance to the success and financial survival of your company. It is important that you use your time to your best advantage. Set the objectives for each sales call you make, then focus on achieving the objectives you've set to bring success to both you and your company. Think about the sales calls you'll be making this week. Identify your objective for each of these calls. Do you discuss your objectives with your manager prior to making phone calls, sales calls? If so, you're lucky. Two heads are always better than one when it comes to developing a sales strategy. If not, pretend that you have to. If he is available, why not ask? What would your manager say about each of your objectives? Is it a good use of your time? Is it a good use of the company's money? Always ask yourself these two questions when you set a sales call objective. Each day this week, write an objective for each call you make. Be sure each call is a good use of time and money. Prospects' risk factors. What factors does a prospect consider when looking to change from their current provider? 1. That you are able to get up to speed with their process. 2. May not work, bad advice. 3. Cost to change, etc. Downtime, wasted products. 4. Compatibility, culture of organisation. 5. Reputation, theirs. 6. Uncertainty of service, yet to be proven, untested. 7. Loss of face if your situation fails. 8. Loyalty, long-standing relationship. 9. Embarrassment. 10. Partners not agreeing. 11. Confidentiality. 12. Security. 13. Loss of control. The objections. 1. Lack of perceived value in the product or service. 2. Lack of perceived urgency in purchasing the offering. 3. Perception of an inferiority to a competitive offering. 4. Lack of funds to purchase the offering. 5. Personal issue with the decision makers. 6. Loyalty to a competitor. 7. It is safer to do nothing. Perception. Objections are symptoms of a salesperson presenting situations too early, talking too much, listening too little, presenting unwanted benefits, making statements instead of asking questions. A day in the life of the sales rep. Mike Simpson is a sales rep for a consulting firm. He is one sale away from hitting his target for the year and being promoted to national sales manager. Mandy Stones, purchasing director for a large bank that has just set up a new premises in Mike's region. Mike, can we move forward? We can move forward if you drop your price by 5%. Mike has some room to be negotiable. What should he do? Dot, dot, dot. 8 elements of differentiation. Price is not one of them. 1. Your values. 2. Your name. 3. Your questions. 4. Your ideas. 5. Your creativity. 6. Your presentation. 7. Your perceived value. 8. Your ability to deliver beyond the client's expectations. If the prospect perceives no value difference between you and your competitor, then they will buy on price. Lowest price equals lowest profit. The effect of markdown on gross profit. If you cut your price by 5%, with your gross profit is 40%, then it's going to cost you 14.3%. If you drop your price by 10%, it's going to cost you 33%. The table above reveals a fairly scary truth. When you discount, you have to sell a lot more than just to be where you were. For example, on a gross margin of 30%, discounted by 15% means you need to sell double, 100% more to get back to where you were before you started discounting. The effect of gross profit on putting your prices up. If you increase your price with your present margin being 2%, 60% equals 3%, or 25%, 60% equals 29.0%. This table is good news. It shows you can actually increase prices and afford to lose a lot of sales before your profit drops to what it was before. When you increase your prices by 10% with a pre-markup margin of 30%, you can lose 25% in sales before you start to lose profitability. Pricing issues and how to deal with them. Often, when meeting with a prospective client, we're so keen to get the deal across the line that we will do anything to get the business. Sometimes this can make us feel like we need to discount. Below are some of the reasons why you may consider giving a discount and why you shouldn't. Justify your price. If you have not successfully uncovered the explicit need of your prospect, you will find yourself having to justify your price. You may end up saying something like, well, the materials cost this much plus 10 hours of installation time and 5 hours consulting based off ... per hour. To ensure that you don't get into the situation, make sure you focus on the benefits, not features of your product or service. This way it becomes a no-brainer and the cost of the solution does not come into it. Don't undervalue your position. Too often our focus is on getting the sale across the line. This can create pressure and anxiety in the interview, which is not comfortable for either party. We need to realize that we are adding value for the client. They are to benefit from the sale as much as we are. Don't undervalue your position. You are bringing as much to the table as they are. Focus on the fact that your product will solve an issue for that your prospect is having, not the urgency to sell to them. Changing the terms of the sale. If you absolutely must lower your price, you need to change the terms of the sale. This means changing the deliverables. There could be a delayed rollout of volume pricing incentive or an extended service contract. It has a win-win and not a lopsided agreement. Therefore, if they want you to drop your price, you need to change what you're delivering or how you deliver it. Don't forget that you are giving away profit. What's another word for a discount? Lost profits. When you give a discount, you're giving away your company's profits and in turn cutting into your commission. Don't forget this when you're thinking about dropping your price. Failing to get in front of the decision maker. If you're pushing to give your best price before you even establish who the final decision maker is, you're wasting a lot of time. You may have already dropped your price once and then discover that your prospect must go to the manager to get the final sign-off on the deal. To avoid this, when you're in the sales view, ask the prospect, who else is involved in making this decision? This will establish if there are higher-ups that need to sign on the dotted line. To avoid any issues around this, ensure that you have a strong return on investment attached to your solution. This way, if the prospect has a monetary figure to take to their superiors, making it easy for them to give the go-ahead. don't think of price in a vacuum. A basic concept is that the price will always be too high if there is no value attached to it. Without the context of a return on investment, any product or service you offer may seem too expensive to the prospect. Ensure you highlight how they will recover the cost of your offering. This may be through increased productivity if their staff reduce downtime on machinery or streamlined interface for managing orders. However you do it, always attach a cost to the value they will receive. Finally, it may seem cliche, but we aren't paupers coming out to our prospects cap in hand begging for business. Remember that you are providing a valuable service to your clients, so that will add value to their business. You are best at what you do, so keep that in mind next time you consider dropping your price for that tricky client. The danger of discounting. Price pressure is a common reality of doing business. A challenge faced by owners and managers everywhere is being asked to sign off on discounted deals by salespeople and customers alike. Price will be one of the several buying motives for most people. If you are not competing in the price basement market, but price is the only motive that you are responding to, then price will be all people judge you by. Find ways of maintaining your price and adding value in other ways. It is important for you to understand the danger of discounting, and it is perhaps timely to remind ourselves to resist the temptation to discount as our only tactic to win business. While reducing price to get the sale might help grow revenue, it has a significant impact on the bottom line profit. Did you realize that if you normally sell a product for $100 and make $40 profit, then discount by 10%, you will have to sell a third more product to make the same amount of profit you did before you started discounting? Here's an example. Gross margin, the percentage of the sale price left after deducting costs. Gross profit equals total sales price less direct costs. Say your product has a sales price of $100 and a direct cost of $60. Gross profit per item is $100 minus $60 is $40. Gross margin, $100 minus $60 divided by $100 equals 40%. If you sell 10 units, the profit will be 4 times 10, 40 times 10, 400. Now if you take $10 off the price, discount of 10%, then the sales price will become $90 and the cost remains at $60. Profit per item is now $90 minus $60, $30. To maintain your profit of $400 at this discounted price will require sales of $400 divided by 30 of 13.33 units, or 44% more units sold. Price objections. A lot of the time, price is not an issue. It is merely being used as a smokescreen. Price often is not at the heart of the issue, but an indicator of something else going on. Clients will use the price objection because it's a convenient excuse. Here's how to avoid this altogether. Don't introduce price too early in the conversation. Price objectives often come when you give your price too soon. Before you can talk about price in the sales process, you have to get the prospect to see what value and get them to articulate the value of the solution. When you share at the price too early in the conversation, you lose control. You move into the negotiation phase where all conversations going forward are going to focus around the price instead of value and outcomes. Focus on selling the value. When you get a price objection, you haven't done your job of selling the value. Go back to the prospect's needs and goals and get them to articulate what the situation is worth to them. When you get the prospect to see the value of the situation and you put it in financial terms, you get much less resistance to the price. The best approach is to work out the cost in dollar terms of the problem with the customer. Many buyers, especially financial buyers, insist that the sales team provides ROI calculations as part of their proposal. It is an important approach for the chief financial officer, CFO, who often needs to make decisions between very different options, apples to oranges kind of decisions. But in sales, we are more often comparing apples to apples. The buyer is trying to decide between two similar solutions coming from competing vendors. or in some cases it's apples versus going without. I haven't been eating apples, so why would I start now? The customer always has an alternative known as next best competition alternative, and the price of this alternative sets the market price. Your solution will be to have some positive economic impact for the customer that your competitor does not. By working with the customer, the scope of these can be estimated. The key principles are combined to create a value model. The value model is a collection of all the value drivers for a specific customer or segment relative to the competitor. A value driver is a mathematical equation that shows how a customer derives value from your solution. We need to dollarize these for the customer. As long as the value driver makes sense and the initial numbers are reasonable, customers are willing to discuss them and share information in the sales conversation, especially if the salesperson understands the value and acknowledges the competitor and the positive and negative values of his company, of his or her company's own solution. Like sales, pricing is a conversation and it needs to be collaborative. In the current economic environment, we need to be able to sell the economic value of our solutions as part of an honest conversation with our customers. When is the right time to quote a price? The right time to quote price is when you have approached, interviewed, and demonstrated a product or service that will fill a person's need and they agree that that's what they want. It's when they say with words and actions, yes, I believe what you've proposed will work for me and I can make a decision. How much is it? To help remember the principle of the quoting price, do this activity. It'll make a point you'll never forget. For the next 10 times you ask the price of anything you're buying, notice what the salespeople do with their eyes when they quote the price, or if the telephone or on the telephone, they'll often hesitate before answering. If your experience is not like most people, 8 out of 10 salespeople will either look away from you or hesitate before they quote you the price. With that in mind, here's some suggestions for quoting the price when it's the right time. Look directly into your client's eyes and mentally look through the telephone when mentioning the price. Don't look away. Confidently quote the price in a self-assured voice without hesitation. Translate into it the value they'll enjoy. Joy, comfort, pride of ownership, reduce costs, increase efficiency. The sales manager. The sales manager opened the sales meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this meeting is to fire you with enthusiasm. If that doesn't work, I'm going to fire you with enthusiasm. Vince Lombardi. AAFTO. Always ask for the order. You miss 100% of the sales you don't ask for. If you don't close, you're working for the competition. Features and benefits. In all businesses, the benefits of that sell are cost savings, time savings, improved productivity, and increased sales. One of the hardest things that most salespeople face is translating figures into benefits for the buyer. They will often end up trying to sell features. The buyer is only interested in the benefits they will derive from your product. The rules for selling are: features and benefits can be used in the selling process together. You can sell on benefits alone. You can never sell on features alone. The more benefits you sell, the more likely you are to close. The features are about your stuff, your products, or services, physical attributes, color, size, frequency, cost, activity, etc. The benefits are about the buyer's stuff, what your products and services do for buyers. Do the benefits make them feel better about life, improve profits, reduce losses, make them look better with their peers, or smarter, or more competitive? Do they save time, money, fear, or hassle? It's only a benefit if the buyer tells you it is. There are normally only 2 reasons people make a decision to change from their current supplier. 1, to make a gain. 2, to avoid a loss. There are 2 types of buyers in the world. 1, those that buy on price. 2, those that buy on relationship. A salesperson's focus needs to be on the latter. Generally speaking, a feature is some fact about the product, organization, something about the product, organization is or has. A benefit is a value for the feature to the customer, a particular way in which the feature addresses the customer need and or improves the customer's circumstances. The value is in the mind of the buyer. Costs are what a customer attempts to minimize while achieving a goal. Costs, price, total cost of ownership, inventory, storage, maintenance, people, resources, license costs, training, shelf life, costs of conversion, compliance, liability, opportunity cost, time to market. Value. The value equation equals benefits minus costs. Benefits help the customer achieve a goal. Benefits, tangible and intangible benefits. Increased productivity, increased revenue, reduced production costs, improved productivity, improved competitive advantage, enhanced image. Putting needs before benefits. A word of advice on the subject of benefits. Be aware of the danger of overusing standard benefits. That is, benefits that are applied to your products and services regardless of a specific customer's needs. This product will enable you to give a better service to your customers, reduce delays, increase profits, improve your image in the market, reduce staff attrition, and improve your edge against the competition. These are all advantages unless they fill an explicit need expressed by the customer. This is called buckshot benefit. Salespeople who use it hope that if they spray enough around, some of it will stick. Whereas in fact, it's just as damaging as a feature pitch. Benefits like this may pass the first so what test, in that they describe a result which is potentially does something for somebody, but they're likely to fall short of the second test. So what does that mean for me? This is the only way to be sure, that is to make sure that you discover the customer's needs before you start talking. The need should dictate the solution. It will influence the configuration of your product and the selection of your services and people skills to achieve the desired goal. Start with the needs, match them with the benefits, and you'll have a firm foundation for a successful sale. Summary: features versus benefits. People buy for a variety of reasons. Some have technical interests, some are business interests. Increasingly, buying decisions are influenced by end users. These people especially are concerned with the benefits of the solution rather than the technical features. Features describe what a product or service is. Benefits describe what it does for the business and for the people connected with it. Use the words "which means that" to translate features into benefits. This product service has the following features, ... which means that you will save time, reduce costs, improve quality, sell more, give better service. Use the so what test to tell them what a benefit means. So what does it do for me? Make sure the customer's needs dictate the solution, not the other way around. Avoid buckshot. Match benefits to specific needs and priorities. Most people buy for benefits, not features. Benefits only mean something if they address genuine needs. Energizer advertisement. Can you spot the one feature on this advertisement that does not have a benefit attached? Sales interviews. End of part 4.